Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Tonight, we continue our look back at the past year in music. We're talking with critics, with listeners, even a couple of members of our own Soundcheck staff, all of whom filled out our ultra-scientific 2012 music survey. But here's the thing. Your thoughts on the past year in music might be completely different from those that you'll hear on the show this week, and that's kind of the point. We want to hear about what stood out for you in music this year. It's not too late to go to soundcheck.org and click on Take Soundcheck's 2012 Music Survey. Joining me here in the studio now with his answers to our survey is John Pareles, music critic for the New York Times. John, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Was it a good year for you musically?
It's always a good year, actually, because there's just so much out there. And if you can find it and the bad stuff doesn't overwhelm you,
right.
There's so many hours in a week and there's enough music to fill it.
So there's always more than enough music to fill it. And sometimes what grabs you are not like the best, but the things that kind of creep up on you and surprise you. What was your big musical surprise of 2012?
Well, Frank Ocean was my favorite album of the year. And it was also a surprise because he came out of a place, the last place you'd expect him to come out of. There's this collective called Odd Future mm-hmm. in L.A. whose arrival was a big blast of nasty, taboo-bashing, wild energy. And out of this emerges Frank Ocean, who's this melancholic, introverted weirdo, crooning about everything that isn't cool in hip-hop. And makes a wonderful record.
Mm-hmm. Channel Orange.
Channel Orange.
We have heard several times the Frank Ocean record already, and this is only the second day.
I know. I think it's going to be one of those records that all the critics agree on. But the funny thing is that real people like it too.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it goes against every possible grain he can think of, people are reacting to it. When I went to his show, girls were squealing. People were singing along mm-hmm. on all the songs. He really is moving people. So he's doing something right.
Six Grammy nominations. How do you think he'll do in February?
I think he might be NDRE, and I think he might wipe out, frankly.
Wow, you think so?
But I've never been able to predict the Grammys.
Out of the corner of my eye, I see executive producer Joel Meyer going, "Yeah, I called it!" Because he was telling us that this morning. He thinks he's going to be another NDRE, get wiped out at the Grammys. We'll see. But another surprise, and one that you've written about in the Times, is, let's see, if I don't want to put words in your mouth, but geezer vitality, would that be right?
Well, that's the words I used. it's just been a very strange year. I mean, all these people who make albums now every 4, 5, 6, 7 years came out with amazing albums. Bob Dylan's album is, I don't know if I think he might be across a generational divide for people, but he's as tough-minded as any rapper. He's as heartfelt as any, you know, sensitive indie rocker. He's got his own sound. He's got his own sound world. Mm. And he wrote some really good songs. He also wrote my favorite couplet of the year, which is, "A gal named Honey took my money." I mean, you know, poetry.
So it was a good year for the old-timers, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Patti Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I could have made a top 10 list with people over 50, and they would have all been good records. Bonnie Raitt distinguished herself as a song picker this year. There's a song on her album called Not 'Cause I Wanted To, which is, I think, as good as one of the songs that she's always sung, which is I Can't Make You Love Me. Adele loved that song so much, she's been singing it live. This Not 'Cause I Wanted To. I mean, the Bonnie Raitt album now, you know, she's a geezer. She's independently released.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's going to hear this song, but I sort of wanted to jump up and down and point at this song because I just think it's a wonderful, heartbreaking, subtle, perfect song.
And it's John Pareles' answer to our question, favorite song of the year.
Well, I'm calling you 'cause you deserve to know. You were not the reason that I had to go. you through. If I knew the reason, I would tell you why somehow the feeling slipped away. I only did what I had to do, not 'cause I wanted.
Not 'Cause I Wanted To comes from Bonnie Raitt's album Slipstream, which she released independently, as John Perellis of the New York Times was just telling us. You can see all of John's answers to our 2012 music survey on our website at soundcheck.org. Favorite song of the year? This is how he answered it, with this Bonnie Raitt song, part of the Year of the Geezer.
Well, I don't want to go that far, because Young Whippersnappers did have a few great moments.
Biggest disappointment of the year?
Well, I'm just so tired of walking into public places and hearing the radio going and hearing yet another auto-tuned voice. Jay-Z said auto-tune was dead. Please listen to Jay-Z. He said this a couple of years ago. I just don't understand, really, why people want to drain their voices of emotion, why they want to sound like robots when human voices are so much more interesting. I guess it must have some metabolistic effect on ears coming out of radio speakers, because it's hard to get a song on the radio, on top 40 radio, that's not auto-tuned. But I just don't, it doesn't move me. Mm. And, you know, usually, I mean, I keep thinking it's going to be like the mullet of sounds. I mean, people are going to look back on this era and say, why did I let that, you know, onto my record? Why did I let my hair do that? And, but it's still here. Yeah. It's like a wine stain.
So maybe this is a related question, but also on our survey we asked, what is your worst song or album of the year?
Well, I actually hesitated to fill that out, because I really, my critical project is not putting people down, really.
Right, right.
But you asked, so I started listening around, and Payphone by Maroon 5 is a song that has every bad trend of 2012 all together in one ugly little package.
Including auto-tune?
Including auto-tune, including a whiny male voice, including a rap interlude that has nothing to do with the rest of the song, including a kind of a lame beat, including you can't find a payphone on the phone anymore. Who is he kidding? They're all ATMs now. So the combination was just too irresistible to throw a custard pie at.
Worst song of the year, Payphone by Maroon 5.
I'm at a payphone trying to call home all of my change I spent on you. Where have the times gone, baby? It's all wrong. Where are the plans we made for two? Yeah, I know it's hard to remember.
That is Maroon 5's big hit, Payphone, which leaves John Perellis of the New York Times unimpressed.
I really think the other listeners an apology for playing even that much of that song.
Now, you know, if you were a Maroon 5 fan from years before, and I don't know if you, John, were.
I wasn't.
Okay. But that's a very different... I mean, they were some kind of a rock band at the beginning, weren't they?
Well, they were also doing Stevie Wonder imitation. I mean, I never was deeply moved by them, but now I'm deeply moved in the opposite direction.
Well, then, let's get back to the positive side of our music survey. And again, you can take the survey, and you can see John's answers and all the other folks who've answered our survey on our website, soundcheck.org. One of our questions is favorite newcomer. This must have been a fun one to answer.
Well, yeah, I mean, because as always, there are so many. Alabama Shakes just they get straight to your heart. They're, and the story behind them is so great because they were a bar band a year ago. Somebody sent a photo that I'm at the bar listening to this band. Some guy at a blog saw the photo, thought she looked like Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who is the great electric guitar slinging gospel singer of
the mid-20th century.
Right.
You're talking about Brittany Howard.
Yeah, Brittany Howard is the singer. She has horn-rimmed glasses. She was wearing a house dress. And he listened to them, and the blog put the song up. The song suddenly gets noticed, and suddenly everybody realizes that Brittany Howard is an amazing soul singer and a really serious, heartfelt songwriter, too. And they're in this little town of Athens, Alabama, not even Athens, Georgia, Athens, Alabama, where she's a mail carrier. And, you know, a year later, the record is out and people are loving it. It's a heartwarming story. It's also a really good, solid, soulful record.
This is the Alabama Shakes. They've sporting 3 Grammy nominations, including for Best New Artist. And the song, I Ain't the Same.
I've been going through the motions. Wonder if anyone can see that I've been looking for something. Have you been looking for me? I ain't the same no more. It's not time to change from before. I know you ain't gonna buy me.
I Ain't the Same comes from the Alabama Shakes, led by singer Brittany Howard. The album's called Boys and Girls, and 3 Grammy nominations, John Perellis of the New York Times.
And she's only 24 years old.
And already, the almost inevitable comparisons, you mentioned Sister Rosetta Tharpe, but the name that people keep bringing up is, of course,
Janis Joplin.
Because
she improvises. I mean, I've seen them now a bunch of times. No song is ever the same. She's really doing it on stage. She's not a shtick. There was this whole soul revival business going around, and mostly it was about, I think, hats and shark skin suits. I mean, this is soul. This is not a revival.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was a great year for, you know, we've seen a number of years where women have sort of been front and center in the pop world. This year, there were figures like Brittany Howard, and also, I know she's sort of close to your heart, Fiona Apple, who had a great record this year.
Yeah, that record's pretty wonderful. It's basically her and a drummer, and she made this album with sound she could find near her house within walking distance. So they brought in all these drums into her house, I guess. But it's her albums have been like big and orchestral, and this one just leaves her all kinds of space to emote. And also, she's funny because she's crazy, okay? But she's onto herself also. So you have these songs where she's detailing how nuts she is, but also she's singing them in a way that you know that she knows how nuts she's being. It's a very twisted and fascinating and self-aware album. Also, the tunes are really good. So she's at war with herself, but she's also completely secure with herself.
And she is one of those figures in the music world that, you know, you kind of wonder how, I mean, there's always that sense of toughness and fragility at the same time. And you wonder how much more can we get from her before things fall apart?
And then she does it.
And then she comes back, yeah, with a great record like The Idler Wheel, if I can use the much shorter version of the full title of her record. This is from Fiona Apple.
My cheeks were reflecting the longest way. My fan was folded up and grazing my forehead.
Is Fiona Apple, a song called Anything We Want from her album of 2012 called The Idler Wheel, etc. John Pareles of the New York Times is with me on Soundcheck today. We're looking back at the year in music. That's not one of the answers to the survey, but I know, John, you really like that record. I do,
yes.
Too. She has always had a great voice. Her sister, Maud Maggart, is also a great singer, more in the kind of cabaret style. Mm-hmm. There is something in the genes in that family, boy, because both of them have great voices.
The sisters on that album, too, they do a canon at the end that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a bonus answer from John Pareles. You can see all of his answers to our 2012 music survey on the website.
It's very scientific, though, I think. I mean, I want to see the tally at the end.
Yeah. I don't think we expected anything resembling consensus, but already, I mean, as I said before, you're like the third or fourth person in day two of our looking through the survey answers to mention Frank Ocean's album as album of the year, and I suspect one of our guests tomorrow will be doing the same. So, you know, we are beginning to see the same names cropping up here and there.
But I'm actually really hoping for the long tail because there is so much stuff out there. I mean, you know, of the 30,000 albums that came out last year,
yeah.
I didn't listen to them all. I really hope, you know, your listeners are music people, and I hope that they're going to throw in that album that they want people to discover.
Right. Well, we asked for a trend that you noticed during the past year, and you came up with an interesting one.
Well, I said the march beat because it's everywhere, and I'm not a big fan of marches. John Philip Sousa was great. I love the Piccolo Obligato and the Stars and Stripes Forever. But the beat itself is kind of boring, kind of European, kind of not swinging, and it's on dance floors now. It's in that Maroon 5 song. It's a coercive beat. It just like stomps you and sends you in one direction. Whereas if you have a syncopated beat, there are all kinds of ways you can attach yourself to it. It took a generation for white folks to learn to clap on the backbeat. I watched audiences finally learn to clap on the backbeat, and now I think we're going to be clapping on the 1 and 3 again. It's kind of sad.
I like your use of the term coercive to describe the march beat, because after all, that's how a march developed, you know, as a way of kind of getting the soldiers in line. And
I wonder socioculturally, what are we marching toward?
Yeah.
But
so give us an example of song with the march beat.
The big hit song that really slammed you over the head was the fun song, We Are Young, which is kind of an interesting song because the verses are all about being miserable and crazy and stupid, and the chorus is triumphant, but it definitely marches out of your radio.
This band is Fun, the song, We Are Young.
Give me a second, I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the bathroom getting higher than the Empire State. My lover, she is waiting for me just across the bar. My seat's been taken by some sunglasses asking about a scar. And I know I gave it to you months ago. I know you're trying to forget. But between the drinks and subtle things, the holes in my apologies, you know, I'm trying hard to take it back. So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.
Well, there is that heavy march beat.
Marching toward pop success.
Yes, they are. The band Fun and their hit single, We Are Young. So the march trend, one that John Pareles has noticed during the past year in music. John, you see a lot of concerts. So when we asked for your most memorable concert, that you must have had to do a lot of sifting through memories to get to your answer.
Actually, not so much.
Really?
Because this one really stood out. Bonnaroo is a festival in rural Tennessee that has the best sound system I've ever heard. You're out in this not so muddy field this year, but you're out in a field and it's like you're wearing headphones.
Really?
Yeah, you have to go if you haven't been there. So it was the perfect place to see Radiohead, which is what I named, and they were on fire playing the set. Their backdrop was like a giant blown up, slightly pixelated video screen, and they played a long set. They played new stuff. They played old stuff. It's all very complex. They're all jittering around the stage. They're all doing crazy polyrhythms. They're being Radiohead. behind them, this thing is flickering, and it's like you are trapped inside some mad computer game. And then the bonus was, I found out that the backdrop, each of those little pixels in their video screen, was the bottom of a recycled water bottle. So they were not only high tech, not only musically astonishing, they were also ecological.
Wow.
So bonus points.
All right. So Radiohead at Bonnaroo, John Pareles' most memorable concert of the year. And again, you can see all of John's answers to our Soundcheck 2012 music survey on the website at soundcheck.org. John, thanks for being with us,
and
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.